Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
You ready for the word? Great, I am. A question I've often heard, and again, even this past week, is this question. If prayer is so powerful, why do so many Christians struggle to pray? It's a fair question, yeah? It's a good question. In fact, it's probably a question that most of us in this room have already asked sometime in our journey with God. Today, I want to continue this conversation on prayer because I genuinely believe God is drawing His church, who's you and I, back to prayer. Front row said amen. I hope there's more amens in there. I believe the Lord is calling us to strengthen, even sharpen, deepen, whatever you want to call it, our prayer lives in this season that we're in. We just have to look at the climate of the world around us, and we know, even the political climate in our own country, in our own state, and we go, you know what? The church needs to get back on their knees, repent, call out to God. And He says, He promises that He will heal the land. He will heal the land. As I prepared for this sermon, or for this week, I was actually going, he said to Pastor Russ, what am I going to preach on this week? Because we've done 3 weeks of mission. And I really felt that prayer has been on our heart, because even when we did the mission, when we taught on when we pray, something shifted in our house. Something shifted in this family. And I really feel that we need to focus more on that. So I was drawn, I was praying and asking God, and I was drawn basically to Luke 11, where Jesus is praying, and when He finishes, the disciples come to Him with a simple request, and they say this, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's powerful words. "Lord, teach us to pray." And then what Jesus reveals in that moment has the power to transform the way we see God, the way we see ourselves, which is really important, as well as the way we pray. So I'm starting a series, which will be for the next 2-3 weeks. And I don't want you to miss it, because this is going to be integral, not only for the house, but for your own life, for your own life. I've taught this, I've named this message, "Teach Us to Pray." That's the series name. And then today is the revelation of Father. Revelation of Father. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your presence. Holy Spirit, we pray, reveal the Father to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Most believers don't struggle. Most of us don't struggle with the fact that believers should pray. However, I think I'm right to assume that most believers struggle with consistency in their prayer life. Life becomes busy. There's distractions. And distractions take over, and prayer slowly moves to the back burner. Prayer slowly moves to the margins. Most believers struggle also with confusion. We know we're meant to pray, but we're not always sure what prayer is supposed to look like. We're not sure how it actually functions in our relationship with God, because sometimes we've never been taught how to pray. For others, the struggle is disappointment. This is an ouchie. I actually had a conversation after the first service where this person came and said, "What you described there was exactly me. You pray, you believe, you trust, but the answer didn't come the way they expected it." I think that's for us all. We pray, we believe, we trust, yet the answer doesn't come the way we expected. And guess what happens then? Discouragement creeps in. For some of us, if we want to really be transparent, the struggle is where the prayer really makes a difference at all. Is it all right if I'm a bit real? I'm always real. I don't like to focus on the enemy. I don't like to focus on Satan. But I need you to know that our enemy understands something that many believers don't, or that many believers forget. And that is, prayer is one of the most powerful weapons God has given his people, you and I. We forget this. You see, prayer connects us to a God who is alive and who is mighty and powerful. And from there, we get connected into God's power. Prayer aligns us with God's purposes. You know, a lot of young people, yeah, I don't know what God's purposes are with me. How much are you praying? Well, not really. That's the problem. Start praying. Because as we pray, it aligns us with the purposes of God. Prayer also invites the activity of heaven into the realities of earth, which like we have just done right there, praying for some onesies. And this is the reason why the enemy works so hard to discourage prayer, to distract us from prayer, to confuse prayer. But ultimately, his main aim is to silence prayer. Reality is, but a believer who stops praying becomes vulnerable. And a church that stops praying becomes powerless. The result is this. When we neglect prayer, the enemy gains ground that was never meant to belong to him. But the truth is this. And who knows, it is the truth that sets us free. This is the truth. The truth is the gates of hell will not prevail against a praying church. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about Pneuma. You are the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against a praying church. Perhaps the greatest tragedy is not that Christians don't believe in prayer. It is that the fact that many Christians have settled for a version of prayer that is far from the model that Jesus intended it to be. So where do we find this model, JJ? I'm glad you asked. We go to Scripture. And in Scripture, we find Luke 11, like I told you. Luke records a moment that I believe reveals one of the deepest longings of every believer, including you and I. Luke 11:1 says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" Teach us to pray. There's a longing on the inside. I know I need to pray, but I don't know how to pray. That's the cry of our hearts. That was the cry of the disciples' heart. And they say, "Jesus, teach us to pray." This, folks, is the only place in the Bible where the disciples explicitly asked Jesus to teach them a spiritual practice. A request that we shouldn't brush over. And we do. Because when we read this, we want to get to what Jesus says. But this is important. Teach us how to pray. Why is this important? Because in context, you've got to realize that the disciples had seen Jesus heal the sick. He had seen Jesus cast out demons. They'd seen Jesus raise the dead. They'd seen Jesus perform all kinds of miracles. But they never once asked him to teach them how to do any of those things. Of everything they saw in Jesus, prayer was the thing they most wanted to learn. So they ask him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Have you ever stopped and thought why they requested to be taught to pray? I think, and I want to suggest that the disciples maybe understood that everything Jesus did publicly flowed from what he did privately. Everything that he did publicly flowed from his quiet time with the Father. And folks, let's be real. Perhaps that is something that we need to grasp as the believers of today. The impact of our public life is and will be determined by the depth of our private life with God. We all want to have an impact. We all want to bring about a change. But that will be determined by the depth of our private life with God. And when you look at the disciples, I think the disciples realized that Jesus' power flowed from his quiet time, from his prayer. His authority flowed from his intimacy, which was brought about through his prayer time. The peace that Jesus had in the storms. Anybody had any storms lately? Your line, those of you at the back. Anybody had any? Oh, I saw that hand. You just saved them. The peace in the storms that Jesus had flowed from Jesus knowing his Father, which came through his intimacy, which was the fruit of his prayer life. You see how it all goes? Prayer life is important. So it dawns on these disciples that Jesus' ministry flows from his relationship with the one whom he withdrew to, the one who he spent time with, which you and I know today as Father God. And so it's from these observations that they approach Jesus and they ask, what in my humblest opinion is one of the most important questions in the New Testament, Lord, teach us to pray. I wonder if that shouldn't become our most impressing requests as a church across the globe. Lord, teach us to pray. Not, Lord, teach me to be successful. Not, Lord, teach me to build things that are significant. Not, Lord, teach me to become the biggest influencer on YouTube. No. Simply, Lord, teach me to pray. I've mentioned this before. I read a book which is on my bookshelf by Michael Koulianos from Jesus Image about the Holy Spirit, and I highly recommend it. Great book, powerful book. And towards the end, Michael was referred to the fact that he asked the Holy Spirit, before he prays, he asked the Holy Spirit to help him pray. And since I've heard this has been a number of years, about 2-3 years ago, I pray that every morning. Before I start praying, I say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. And folks, I can tell you, ever since I've started that, it's like I have the thoughts before they come out of my mouth. It's like Holy Spirit is guiding me as to what to pray. I prayed that this morning again. Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Jesus, teach me to pray. Holy Spirit is with us. He's our helper. And what Jesus does in this moment of being asked, like the Holy Spirit does with me, but Jesus in that moment, what he does is he takes them to the very foundation of prayer in one single word, Father. Really important, more important than we realize. You know why? Because prayer is about presence before about provision. I actually had a lady, we had visitors visiting from Toowoomba. And she spoke to me afterwards. She said to me, I have never thought about stopping right at the beginning. I said, well, neither did I. Until I sat this week and started preparing. Father. Luke 11:2, Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. He doesn't begin with a prayer request. He doesn't begin with a strategy. He doesn't begin with a formula. He begins with one single word, Father. And hidden within that one word is the entire theology of prayer. Why do I say that? Because the Greek word used here for Father is pater. I need you to know as well, because some of your versions of your Bible say, Our Father which art in heaven. The earliest, most widely accepted Greek manuscript only had the word Father, did not have the word our or in heaven. Luke is using that manuscript and says, Pater, Father. So right from the get-go, we realize that Jesus teaches his disciples what to ask for, not what to ask for, but who they are speaking to. Jesus is revealing, before he teaches what to ask for, he's teaching them who they are speaking to, Father. He doesn't use the word almighty. He doesn't use the word king. He doesn't use the word judge. He doesn't use the word creator. And all those things are true of who Father is. But Jesus intentionally chooses the word pater, which is Father. So therefore, we should stop and go, "Whew, that's interesting. Why does he do that?" I want to suggest it's because the way you see God will determine the way you approach God. The way you see God will determine the way you approach God. If God is merely a judge, you'll approach him cautiously. If he is a king, you'll approach him formally. If he is a creator, you'll approach him with respect. But God as Father, guess what? You approach him relationally. And this is what Jesus wants us to realize. Because everything Jesus is about to teach after that starts with pater, starts with the word Father. And this is the revelation. Are you waiting for it? The revelation is, when Jesus says Father, he's not giving God a title, he's giving the disciples an identity. He's giving the disciples an identity. Because, why do you say that, JJ? Because the moment you call God Father, you are simultaneously acknowledging that you are his child. You are simultaneously acknowledging that you are his child. So the prayer starts with a revelation of what? Of who I am. Boom. Mic drop. Light bulb moment. Whatever you want to call it. The prayer starts with who I am. By saying the word Father, I am acknowledging I am his son. I have identity right there and right then. This is not about a title of a supernatural being. It's identity. And why is this important? Because every other part of your prayer flows from that one word, Father. You see, if he is Father, then you can trust him. If he is Father, you are depending on him. If he is Father, you are surrendering to him. You are persevering with him. I mean, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Prayer is built on sonship. Sonship. Belonging. What does sonship mean? Access. Acceptance, inheritance. It means family, sonship. And that's how come I'm like a stuck record. When I say, when you know you are a son and daughter, you will walk differently, you will talk differently, you will live differently, you will husband differently, you will father differently, you will lead differently. It's not about knowing, it's about knowing. Knowing that you are a son. And where does this knowing start? Well, Jesus reveals it. The way you approach your prayer life. One powerful word, pater, Father. Is this helping? Here's the revelation. There's many revelations. But the revelation for the disciples, for you and I, is this. Prayer is not strangers trying to get the attention of God. Prayer is children approaching their loving Father. That's prayer. Prayer is children approaching a loving God. And right there, when you grasp this, that it's all about sonship, it's all about children approaching a loving Father, guess what? Everything changes about prayer because no longer are you trying to earn access. No, 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 no. Prayer is about living from access. No longer are you trying to convince God to listen. You're approaching a Father who is already listening. No longer are you trying to get God's attention. You have to be aware you already have His attention. You already have it. No longer are you trying to get something from God. You know my to-do list? No. It's about being with Him. It's about being with Him. Think about it. In the natural, if you have a son, you have a daughter, you have a child, and the child says, Daddy, Daddy, he's assuming his daddy is going to turn around and give him attention. Am I right? What does he do if daddy doesn't give him the attention? He goes, Daddy, 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 doesn't he? Until daddy gives him the attention. The difference is here, when you say pater, father, you've already got his attention. You've already got his attention. As in the natural, Jesus is highlighting, so in the supernatural. A child calls out, Daddy, as believers we call out, pater, father. When we approach Father, as the child, the natural child approaches his daddy, expecting daddy to turn around, you and I as believers, when we say Father, we need to be expectant that he is listening. Not wonder. Not doubt. Natural, supernatural. Natural, supernatural. And this is really important because before Jesus teaches them how to pray, he heals the picture of God. May I gently suggest that's where many believers struggle, their picture of Father God. Not because they don't know the language of prayer, but because they don't always trust the heart of the Father. And if we want to really be honest, for some of us, our picture of Father God has been shaped by our earthly experiences. It may have been shaped by father wounds, disappointment, absence, harshness, rejection, unanswered prayers, painful seasons, life circumstances which have made us wonder if God is truly good, truly near, truly for us. Reality is, folks, the disciples aren't any better than what we are. Because nowhere is it written what their lives look like. Nowhere is it written what childhood they had. Nowhere is it written that they may have had father issues. Nowhere is it written. But I nearly want to guarantee you that they would have. They would have gone, had the same kind of challenges we have, maybe even worse. Because back then, if they didn't like you, they stoned you. Or they pulled you apart between donkeys. So when Jesus comes and he begins with the word Father, he's not just giving them and us a title for God, he's actually restoring our vision of a good father. He's restoring our vision of a good father. Folks, I've come to learn this. You will never pray confidently if you see God incorrectly. You will never pray confidently. If you see God incorrectly, you cannot approach Him confidently. But when you discover that He truly is a good God, that He truly is a loving, caring Father, that He wants the best for you, everything changes. That's why sonship is important. Sonship, knowing that you are a son. I know. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching from within me because I've experienced this myself. Because my version of Father God way back in Whoop Whoop days, I approached him with caution. I approached him with hesitation. I approached him because I was dealing with my own rejection. I was dealing with my own hurt. I was dealing with my own upbringing. But this truth became incredibly real to me years ago. Some of you have heard our testimony. Pauline and I, we came from South Africa. We felt God lead us. We're in Perth at Riverview Bible College. We'd stepped out in faith. We had followed his voice. And like many people who respond to God's leading, we imagined that obedience would somehow remove all difficulty from the journey. Not. Didn't happen. You see, instead, obedience led us into one of the most challenging 25 years of our lives. 25 right up to this day. The most challenging. And I remember at one stage, way back in Perth, we're living on $60 a fortnight, people. $60. Bible college fees are due. Living expenses are mounting up. I think our rent was due. Our visa situation was connected to our studies. So if Bible college fees are not paid, then we can't study, which impacts the visa, etc., etc. And everywhere I look, there seems to be pressure on pressure on pressure. And then I've got the pressure of being a husband to this new wife that I have. I've just yanked her across the ocean. To another country. We're living in a place that we hardly know anybody. We've got no family here. I cannot see a pathway. I need a solution. And I remember this as it happened yesterday. We had this little unit, and I was fasting because I'm trying everything and anything that I can. And fasting, the Bible talks about fasting. And I'm fasting, but I've decided, okay, fasting and prayer goes hand in hand. So I go back to the unit, and there was a little veranda, enclosed veranda, must be from here to that line over there, maybe 4 paces. And I'm pacing up and down, 4 paces. And I am praying, and I'm crying, I'm snorting, I'm shaking my fist at God for hours. I'm telling him all my concerns. I'm saying to him, Lord, we followed you all the way from South Africa, and you brought us here. We obeyed you, and the breakthrough hasn't come. And the longer I pray, the more emotional I get, the more exhausted I get. And eventually, I'm absolutely knackered. I go and sit in this cane chair, which we got off the verge because of finances and stuff. And I lean my head back on the chair, and I fall asleep. I don't know how long I slept, but I don't think it was long, but it was a deep sleep, a very deep sleep. When I woke up, something was different. Well, look, the money hadn't arrived. I mean, there wasn't a pile of money waiting for me. I didn't know that if the fees had been paid, the circumstances had not changed. Nothing around me was different, yet everything inside me was different. There was a peace within me that I cannot adequately explain to you this day. And looking back, it almost feels like, you know, Father allowed me to fall asleep so that he could do a little bit of heart surgery, or he could do a little bit of a yanking, you know, get rid of that doubt, or, you know, maybe he gave JJ a complete overhaul. I don't know. He did something. But you see, folks, when I woke up, the fear was gone. The panic was gone. The striving was gone. The anxiety was gone. And in its place, there was something different. A confidence that he would come through. A confidence. And I just knew. I don't know how. I can't tell you that I had writing on the wall, but I just knew that he would make a way. Well, good ending to that story. Days later, God answers, of course, and provision is provided, and there's an envelope in the post in the letterbox with money in, and the fees are paid, and there's groceries at the door. Everything is there. Yeah, and we're like, oh, God, it's so good. Amen? But I want to say this to you today. When I look back, I don't believe the greatest miracle was the provision. I think the greatest miracle was the peace in knowing there is a Father who loves us so much that He listens. He cares so much and He answers our prayers. Come on, give Him some glory. Give Him some glory because He deserves it. This is something that Paulina and I have carried through season after season, even as early as last week. You see, folks, before God changed my circumstances, He changed me. Before He worked around me, He worked within me. And that is the mystery of prayer that we need to grasp, because this is done, how? By knowing we are His Son and He is our Father. While I was busy preparing, I also read through every moment that Jesus went aside and spent time with the Father. I went through every single one of them. And I came to this assumption or this summary, and this is it. I wrote it down. Jesus continually withdrew, not because He had to give the Father a to-do list, but because He enjoyed communion with the Father. Jesus didn't pray out of duty. He prayed out of delight. A foreign concept. It's a foreign concept. He wasn't trying to impress. He wasn't attempting to gain approval. He wasn't trying to convince a God what God needs to do. He was spending time with Father, which was His greatest delight. Lord, help me understand just that. You see, like me, I think we often come to prayer wanting God to change a circumstance or a situation. While God is inviting us to deepen a relationship because He wants to reveal Himself afresh to us. Prayer is where sons and daughters encounter a loving Father. Prayer is where the Father replaces anxious hearts with peaceful ones. Prayer is where weary souls find rest. Prayer is where we discover that God's presence is often a greater gift than the outcome we were originally seeking. That's prayer. We know God loves us, yeah? We know the verses. We know the theology. But yet we still feel the pressure to say the right things when we pray. And we wonder, have I prayed long enough? Should I be praying longer? And we compare ourselves to other people who seem more spiritual. Let me take all of that away and say this. Before long prayer becomes performance, it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. All about relationship. Father, Patya, that's how Jesus starts to teach. And I'm looking at the time going, we can't go further than that today because we don't have the time. So the next 2 weeks, I'm going to break it open further. Because my next point that I want to go into is prayer is surrender before it's strategy. Prayer is surrender before it is strategy. So I conclude. Danielle, thank you, beautiful. I need you to tinkle tangle there. Today we learn of one word. A word from which relationship flowed. Everything Jesus did and achieved flowed from that word. Father. Father. And today that's an invitation for you and I. Not merely to pray more, not to become more disciplined, but to discover prayer as communion, relationship with Him who loves me unconditionally. You would all agree. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes families. Prayer changes communities, prayer changes cities, prayer changes nations. But let me add, before it changes any of those things, prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. Why? Because every time we step into His presence, we leave a little bit different than when we arrived. This morning, and every time we worship, we linger longer. His presence is our priority. We want nothing more than His presence. Nothing less in His presence. We only want His presence. Because folks, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If His presence is not here, it's just another concert. And we're all spectators. You see, when you're in the presence of God, you cannot but not leave differently. If I take a tea bag and I put it in water and I pull it out, that tea bag is different. And the water is different. When you are in His presence, like this morning, right now, like when you go to your war room or your prayer closet, or even when you're driving in the car, speaking to Father, when you climb out of that car, because you've been in His presence in that car, in the war room, in the prayer closet, wherever you meet with Him, you get out and you are different because you've been in the presence of God Almighty. We've got to get this. You've been in the presence of Father, of Pater, one who loves you unconditionally. You've been in His presence. You cannot be the same. Again. You cannot be the same again. That's why when you walk in and you've been praying in the car and you get out of the car and you walk into the office and that person looks at you and goes, good morning. You go, hey, good morning. You go, you look a little bit different today. Or, looks like the light's shining out of you. You know, all those woke things that the people say nowadays, yeah? That's your opportunity to say yes, because I spent time with Father. Come on, church. This morning, we've spoken about this and we're going to finish differently. I don't want to go away from this moment because His presence is really tangible in this place. We've spoken about Father. We've studied Father. We've unpacked the meaning of Father, of Pater. But there comes a point where we stop talking about Him and we simply come to Him. So across this room, I want us to just have that moment. I want you to close your eyes right there where you are. I want you to open your hands in front of you on your lap, because we're going to have a moment with Father. We're going to pray that prayer together, Father. Right there where you are. Don't want anybody moving around. This is a holy moment. He is in the room. He is in this place. He's right here. Eyes closed. I want you to focus on Him. I want you to find Him. What do I mean by that? He's here. It's like a radio, fine-tuning the radio. You know, when you're not on the right station, you're not perfectly on the station, there's distortion and noise. And until you tune in, those old radios, I'm not talking about the new ones, the old ones. Right now, I want you to tune in. I want you to find His presence. Find Him where He is. Hands open. Sign of surrender. Sign of I'm ready to receive. And just there where you are, I want you to say that word, Father. You may be encountering Him in a different way. You may encounter Him right now. Maybe there's warmth on your hands. Maybe there's warmth in your belly. Maybe tingles. Just press in. Identify that is Him. Just say again, Father. Oof. He's drawing closer. Perhaps for some of you that word comes easy, but for others it's difficult. Maybe life has shaped your understanding of fatherhood, or there's disappointment that's distorted your picture of God. You're carrying hurts and wounds. Guess what? I just want to encourage you, don't hold Him Don't hold him away from you. Allow him to come closer. How do you do that, JJ? Just say the word again, Father. Allow him to come in. Holy Spirit, reveal the heart of the Father to us right now. Father, I pray right now that you would reveal yourself afresh to every person in this room. Not as a distant God. Not as a reluctant God. Not as an angry God. But as Father, Pater. Pater. Come. Come. Heal distorted pictures. Heal wounded hearts today, right now, across this room. Heal wounded hearts today, Lord God. As you did with JJ, come and do that heart operation. Cut out the anxiety, the mistrust, the distrust, the fear. Cut it out right now, Lord God. Replace it with your love, your love, your love. Right across this place, let your sons and daughters know today that they are loved. I sense the Father saying to somebody here, I'm not just one, but a couple of people, I see you and I accept you. Wow, that's a word. Father, let sons and daughters know that they belong to a family, the family of God. And Father, may the revelation sink in that we have a loving, loving Father who is always willing to listen. Always willing to listen. Help us to draw near, Lord. And so, Father, we draw near to you this morning. And we thank you that you are already drawing near to us. Right there where you are, just say the word again, Father. I want to encourage you, say it out loud this time, Father. Wow. I sense every time we say that, it's like God comes closer and closer and closer. I see a picture of the Father sitting with some of our ladies with their arms, with his arms around you, embracing you, whispering in your ear, I love you, my daughter. I hear Father say to some of his sons this morning, you think you've been a failure in your life, but I see you as a son. Today I remove the label failure and I place on you the label victorious. Just press in, family, just press in. This is a precious moment in the presence of Almighty God. Pater, Father. Let his love surround you. Let his clarity saturate your mind. Allow him to remove all those lies that have lingered over the years. Allow him to restore your sonship. Allow him to restore you being a son and a daughter. He never thought different of you. It's you that has thought different of yourself. Where you have said, I am not worthy, he says, oh yes, you are worthy because I sent Jesus to die for you. Where you say, you don't know what I've done, he goes, oh yes, I do because I know all things. But I see you through the blood of my son. Righteous, strong and mighty, fearless, love-filled, peace-filled, I see you, a world changer. A mightier man of valor that has been hiding in a cave because of your past. Today, Father calls you out and says, Son, it's time to stand up and arise. It's time to take your rightful place as my son. What you have thought you have lost, I'm about to restore more than you could even imagine. More of your presence, Lord. Make us aware of your presence. More of your presence. Father, may the cloud of your glory fill this place. May the cloud of your glory rest upon our shoulders. May the cloud of your glory be so heavy that we are unable to stand in your presence. Mark us today with your presence, so that when we walk out of here, we will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. Because Father, we have seen you today. Whoa. We have seen you today. Oh yes, Lord. It's a cry of our heart to see you today. Help us to see you for who you are. Who you are. A loving, caring, Father. Before we finish, I want to speak to those who've never experienced God as Father. Perhaps you've known about God, but you've never entered into a personal relationship with Him. My friend, the gospel is easy and it's simple. God loves you. And because of His love, He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And then He raised Him from the dead to give you and me everlasting life. And today He invites you into relationship with Him. He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your Pater. The cross was not simply about forgiveness. It was about bringing sons and daughters home to the Father. Maybe you've never made that decision. Or perhaps you've drifted away from what God had for you. But today's the time for you to come home. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. I want us all of us, keep your eyes shut, nobody looking around. I want you to all pray this prayer out loud, especially those two who have raised their hands today. I want you to pray this prayer after me. If the team can pray that on the microphones, that would be good as well. Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Today, I choose to turn to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my King. Fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that I am forgiven. I am accepted. And I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give them a massive round of applause? Father, we thank you for what you have done. And we ask, seal it with the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Don't miss next week.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.